Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning.
Got a little special treat this morning. Seems Jackie is not in Lampasas, Texas. She's in, right now, she's in Alberg, Vermont. It's a good thing she's here on a day that it's 30 rather than a day that it's 1. It's good to have her here. We missed her. Just as we missed the rest of our summer people. Jim and Kathy down in Florida, Andy and Dale and in Arizona. Yep. Jeremy, I'm really, really, really bad with names, and it takes a while. I knew who you were. I know where you were. You're down in Brandon, but I had to look at Deb to give me the name. And friends and family in other parts of the country that are paying attention to us online. We love you. I want to talk this morning about guarding your heart. Remember last week, we talked about the armor of God. And our breastplate, the part that was shielding our core, is the breastplate of righteousness. So I want to talk about guarding our heart with that in mind, in the concept and the thoughts of the armor that we talked about last week. Loins girt about with truth, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and praying. Always remember that part of your armor is prayer. So with that in mind, just that mental image of what somebody standing there in armor looks like, how, you know, they've got their feet covered, and generally it comes up to their up well up onto their legs, and you know, their loins are girded about, their belt is on, if they're wearing robes, the robes are pulled up and tucked in so that you can actually run and maneuver and do things. The breastplate of righteousness protecting your core, the helmet of salvation protecting your head, protecting your thoughts, the shield of faith, because not everything is covered without the shield. But I want to talk about guarding your heart. Philippians 4, beginning with verse 4, says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." We're talking about guarding our heart. How do we guard our heart? This says here, part of how we regard our heart is we trust God. We rejoice in the Lord. We be gentle because we are servants of the Lord. We don't get anxious about the things going on around us, but we trust the Lord. We make our requests known unto the Lord. It doesn't say, don't ask the Lord for anything. It says, as we ask the Lord, be confident in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Thanking God for what He's already done. Thanking the Lord for what He's going to do. Thanking Him for salvation. Thanking Him for strength. Thanking Him for the very breath that we breathe. Did you get up this morning? Everybody nod yes. We have something to praise God for. Anybody get ran over on the way here? No. Praise God. We had traveling mercies on things we can find, always find things to praise God for. I was in a Bible study years and years ago, back in Virginia. And it was a Wednesday night Bible study, and people come in and said, "Praise God, God is so good. We were on our way here and we're almost ran over by a tractor trailer." And I sat down, and somebody else said, "Praise God, God is so good that even if you had been ran over by the tractor trailer, it wouldn't affect who God is." God is God. God is worthy of praise whether things are going our way or not. But when things are going our way, we definitely have a reason to praise God. We praise God for who He is, but we also praise God for what He's done. So for those of you down south, away from here, it's 32 right now, supposed to warm up to 34. The plow trucks are just running up and down the road with their plows up and not doing anything but putting miles on. Like, what is that noise? Oh, that's what that noise is. He's going a little too fast to be salting. It's a 40 zone, they're doing about 50. Praise God. Yeah, there you go. Guarding our hearts. The peace of God, which passes all understanding. You realize that for peace to pass understanding, that means we're going to have to be having peace when things don't look like we should possibly be having peace. We get that, right? We understand that? When nothing makes sense. Before services, I was playing some of the songs, and it's the song "Jesus Send the Rain," which starts with how people are asking the singer how he can praise God with all that he's gone through. That's called a peace that passes understanding. When we can praise God even in the difficult times, when we can find things to praise God for, even when to the casual observer, like, what have you got to be thankful for? Well, let's go back through it. I have breath to breathe. I did not get ran over on my way here. You know, I am able to stand. There's always things to be thankful for. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And we're talking about guarding our heart. Let's go on down to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Beginning with verse 5. Verse 5 says, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? But I trust you will know that we are not disqualified." We're called to examine ourselves. When Paul is talking about taking communion, he tells us to examine ourselves. You see, it's real easy to fool people. What's the old saying? You can fool all the people some of the time, some of the people all the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. How often can you fool God? Never. We're called to examine ourselves, to humbly reflect on who we are and where we stand before God. We recognize that we stand before a holy God, having the righteousness of Jesus Christ, not because of what we have done, but because of what He has done on our behalf. But we also know that we're called to, it tells us in 1 John, that if we say we have no sin, we lie and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So as we go before the Lord, as we go about our day, part of guarding our hearts is examining ourselves and going before the Lord and say, "Lord, I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry. Please forgive me." Standing in confidence that we are forgiven. Jesus' death on the cross paid the price for all sin. The sin of last week, the sin of today, the sin of 10 years from now. He paid the price for all sin. Yet part of getting our heart right with God is recognizing that we have fallen short. Lamentations 3, beginning with verse 39. Says, "Why should a living man complain? A man for the punishment of his sins. Let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. Let us lift up our hearts and hands to God in heaven. Now, it's one thing if we're just hearing in the New Testament that we need to examine ourselves, but the Lamentations, Jeremiah in the book of Lamentations says to examine ourselves and turn back to the Lord. I think it's either Hosea or Micah. I think it's Hosea. It says, come and let us return unto the Lord, for he has torn and he will heal us. He has smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days he will revive us, and the third day he will raise us up. And we will know as we follow on to serve the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning. In other words, as we get to know more and more and more of God, as we recognize where we fall short, as we get back up, as we go on, as we carry out what God has called us to do, God is going to show himself mighty in our lives and on our behalf. So now we're not just talking about Paul talking to the Corinthians or Jeremiah talking to everybody in the book of Lamentations. We see it in these other prophets that we are called to examine ourselves. In Galatians 6, beginning with verse 1, it says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Now, I want you to stop and think about that there for a minute. When we see somebody else overcome, when we see somebody else in trouble, when we see somebody else struggling with a fault, overtaken in a fault, overtaken in a trespass, is what it says in the New King James. You who are spiritual, restore such a one. How can we help other people if we're not examining ourselves? How can we be a blessing and encouragement to somebody else if we're not examining ourselves? And he goes on and says, do it in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Recognize our own shortcomings. Recognize that even though we are currently walking in light, there have been times when we weren't. There are areas in our own lives that are more difficult. Some areas of our life are more difficult to deal with than others. Being patient can be an area of struggle for a lot of people. Ooh, that would be me. You know? How we deal with people. Are we always gentle? Maybe you are, I'm not. Are we always kind? No, that means we need to continually guard our heart, examine ourselves, go before the Lord asking for healing, asking for direction, asking Father to just continue to draw me close to you. Verse 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Part of our walk, part of what we are called to do is to love others as we love ourselves. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And then Jesus says, a new commandment I give you, that you love others as I have loved you. How did Jesus love us? He laid down his life for us. He was more concerned with our well-being than with his comfort. Are we that way in dealing with other people? For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let each one examine his own work, then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one will bear his own load. And you look at that and say, wait a minute, how are we supposed to bear one another's burdens, but also take care of our own problems? He says we're supposed to bear our own load. He tells us to bear one another's burdens. So which is it? The answer is it's both. We don't rely on somebody else to bring us back to the Lord. We don't rely on somebody else to point out our faults. We don't rely on somebody else and think that we can get by without examining ourselves. So we have to examine ourselves. But part of examining ourselves and letting God change us brings on that spirit of humility wherewith we're able to help somebody else. We're able to be a blessing in somebody's life. First off, because we recognize that we are also subject to falling short. We are also subject to failure. We are also subject to losing our temper. It is a lot easier to be gentle with somebody else who's getting up in your face when you realize that they're not that much different than you, except the grace of God has allowed you to be calm in this time. As we examine ourselves, as we guard our hearts, as we recognize that a sharp answer will hurt somebody, whereas a soft answer will turn away wrath. You know, if we're concerned about how other people see us, if I am concerned about what somebody else thinks of me, I am not that concerned about what they think of God. However, if I am more concerned that people get to know the Lord, if I'm more concerned with hearts getting healed, then I can put up with things that the old flesh would just kind of rise up. I could be angry and difficult with people. Well, wait a minute. It's not about me. It's not about me. I've been that way before. I have seen God at work. Let me give you an example. Okay? As we are all very, very, very much aware, there are some political differences in our country. Okay? So, under this current president, I know people that are very, very much against the current president and very, very vocal in being against the current president. Under the former president, I know people that were very, very much against him and very vocal against it. And as I'm trying to talk with people, I have to remember that back a few years ago, actually quite a few years ago, there was a president that I was very, very much against and very, very railing against, until all of a sudden, you know how that scripture will suddenly pop off the screen, pop off the page of the Bible at you, and it's talking about the wickedness in the last days and how one of the signs of wicked people is they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. And that just hit me right between the eyes, because here I was railing against the president. I wasn't afraid to speak evil of a position of authority and the person in that position. And God convicted me of it. So now, as I see other people railing against the president, or former under the previous president, railing against the president, my heart goes out, because I know it's wrong and I understand that people don't quite get how wrong it is. So it's something I can pray for people about. Doesn't mean I agree with everything anybody does. But what it means is every person is put in a position that is in a position of authority. Is the authority itself comes from God. And the Bible tells me that like rivers of water, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and he turns it however he wants to. That God is able to turn any heart, especially the hearts of rulers. So as a believer in Jesus Christ, my job, my calling, my expectation from God is to lift up those people in positions of authority and ask that God have his perfect will done in their hearts. And lift them up and ask for strength and ask for wisdom. Not to tear them down, not to rebuke them, not to worry about that. Worry about the fact that I am called by God to be a light where I am. To pray for the city that I am, to pray for the nation that I'm in, to pray for the people around me, to pray for those in positions of authority, to lift up all of the leadership and pray that God do wondrous things in their life. It is not my job to run them down. It is not my job to speak negative things into the air concerning anybody. Doesn't matter who they are. It is my job to lift up other people and
desire to see that God's best plan for their life be fulfilled. And as we do that, as we deal with other people that are
So for those listening online, I just realized I was kicking the microphone, so it must have fallen off. So I don't know how much kind of weird noises you just got.
Yeah.
But we are called to be a light. We are called to be a witness. And part of guarding our heart is recognizing that people are the same. You know, it says way back in Genesis 6... that God looked down and saw the heart of men was to do evil continually. Things haven't changed that much since Genesis 6. We are in a fallen world, and we are called to be lights in the midst of the fallen world. We have to examine ourselves, guard our hearts. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. See if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Do we cry out to God on a regular basis? Lord, make me more like Jesus. Lord, make me more like you. Lead me in your ways. Help me. Help me to lay aside the things that would tie me down. Help me, Father, to guard my heart. Help me, Lord, to be a light. Help me to do the things that you've called me to do. Jesus said, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." He didn't say, "Apart from me, you can't do very much." He says, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." As we recognize that we are totally dependent on God in every aspect of our lives, that we trust Him to work through us. Galatians 6, beginning with verse 7, says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are in the household of faith." As we read about that sowing and reaping, for so many years, I focused on the first part. He who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. I focused on that. Now I desire to focus on the second part. He who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Not that I don't want to focus on the flesh. I want to focus on the Spirit. That doesn't mean I don't have to examine myself, because each and every one of us do. It means that as we sow, that which we sow we will also reap. And as we sow to the Spirit, we will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. As we sow to walking in the Spirit, we will of the Spirit make an impact in other people's lives. The positive part of it, the upside. Then it goes on in verse 9. "Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart." Now, how many times do we do something we think is good and we don't see anything come from it? And we don't see anything come from it. And we keep doing it and we don't see anything come from it. And we get discouraged and we get annoyed because nobody's noticing the good things we do. Okay, that's just me. We go through. But it says, in due season, we will reap if we do not lose heart. See, God is the one who sees everything. And in fact, when Jesus was talking to the people and talking about the Pharisees, he said, "Don't be like them, because they do their good deeds to be seen by men." They sound the trumpet before them as they go to give alms. They do great big long prayers in the marketplace. I'm like, oh, I'm over here. Hey, watch me. Jesus said, your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Are we doing things to be seen by others, or are we doing things to be seen by God? Examine our hearts, guarding our hearts. What are we doing? Why are we doing the things that we do? And then, final passage, Hebrews 12, beginning with verse 12. It says, therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that that which is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. I always read that as how we are to deal with other people. Strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. But I miss the part where it says, make straight paths for your feet. This is watch how you walk. If you recognize that you have areas that you are in, that you need help, that you reach for, that you try and get help. If you realize that this is an area of temptation, you avoid the temptation. You don't allow those hands which hang down, those places where you are weak, to sidetrack you from what God has called you to do. Strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that that which is lame may not be dislocated, but rather let it be healed. This is how we are to carry ourselves and examine ourselves. Find those areas where we are susceptible. Find those areas where there is danger. Find those areas where it's a struggle, and recognize it and guard against it. Then verse 14, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Do we ever allow a hurt to fester? Do we ever allow an insult to just kind of sit there and boil? That root of bitterness will cause many people to be defiled. We're called to examine ourselves. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. We read that and say, what exactly does that mean? Each and every one of us are to examine ourselves. Each and every one of us are to guard our heart. Each and every one of us are to look for those areas where we are weak, where we need help, where we're holding on to something, where we're allowing something to make us unfruitful. And not only unfruitful, but hanging on to that hurt as it festers. Esau felt he was dealt with unfairly by his brother. He had come in from the field. He'd been gone for a while. He was very, very hungry. His brother had a pot of stew cooking. He said, give me a bowl of your stew. And Jacob says, I'll sell it to you for your birthright. More interested in taking care of the needs of the moment than the future, he agreed. And having made the deal, he was angry and held on to that insult. How many times do we do that? And maybe not necessarily the same thing. Looking at me, you're pretty sure I haven't spent 3 days in a field without eating. Okay, so we'll start with that. But we have all... That may not be true. Maybe we haven't all. I have at times been so focused on the needs of the moment that I didn't take into account the future complications that would arise from it. I have been so focused on what's going on right now that I haven't looked to the future. But we are told we need to do that. If we are so concerned about what's going on right now, we tend to lose sight on the things that really matter, the things that are eternal. That's why we're called to guard our heart, to examine ourselves. But we read the solution way back in Lamentations. Why should a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins? Let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. Let us lift up our hearts and hands to the God in heaven. As we humble ourselves before God, the Bible says in due season He will raise us up. So Father, we just come before You right now, recognizing, Lord, that You've called us to examine our hearts, to guard our hearts, to examine our ways, to cry out to You that You lead us, to cry out to You to help us to examine our hearts. For Lord, You've called us to be lights to the generation that we're in. You've called us to be a witness and a help to the people around us. We have to first be honest with ourselves and drawing close to You. Father, in those ways where we've allowed the issues of the day, the things that seem to be so pressing but are so limited in time, to get in the way of what's coming. Father, for that we repent. And we just ask, Lord, that You would lead and guide us. Father, open our eyes to see Your hand at work. Open our eyes to see the needs in ourselves, to deal with them, to lay them down. Lord, that You would cleanse us, that we might be able to see the needs in others and reach out and help those others around us. That as the body of Christ, believers all over the world get strengthened by that every joint supplies, that each of us drawing closer to You strengthens the body of Christ. Each of us reaching out to help others strengthens the body of Christ. That You be glorified in this place, that You be glorified in our hearts, that You be glorified every place we carry Your presence with us. That You be glorified, that Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done. And we give You the praise, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.